Thank you, Pastor David. Appreciate that. And I had to make sure that I got up here okay, because there was one point when I stood up here one time when I was graduating high school in the youth group. And I remember, you know, Pastor Seth was up here giving us our wonderful, famous, amazing-looking ESV study Bibles that we all got as graduates. And we had a little extra platform here for that. And when it was my turn to come up, you know, we're dressed up in caps and gowns and all those good things. And I go up to give Pastor Seth a hug. And as I do, there's this mobile podium that was standing right there. And when I go to give Pastor Seth a hug, that podium falls over. And I thought, oh my goodness. And of course, everybody's laughing. It's a good time. And I still remember looking at that picture and Pastor Seth's face like, it was hilarious. It was the funniest thing. And so I'm glad I was able to get up here all right this morning. So if you have your Bibles, as Pastor David mentioned, you can open up your copy of God's Word to the book of Colossians. We'll be in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. That's right in between Philippians and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Be in Colossians 3, 12 through 17. And it is always an honor to be here in this pulpit, seeing the men who have been in this pulpit with me growing up, to see them and for them to influence me the way that they have. It's always an honor to be up here, and it is an honor that I do not take lightly. It's a big honor. And I pray that this time together will be an encouragement to you guys about how greatly blessed we are here at Wake Chapel. For we know that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. And to that, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is the word of the Lord. Now let's go to Him in prayer and ask for His help. Father in heaven, help us to glorify Your name in all the earth. Lord Jesus, may we crown You and crown You our prophet, priest, and king. Let us give unto You the glory that is due to Your name. Let us worship You in the splendor of holiness. And let us do so in the study of Your word here at this time. Father, may I decrease so that You may increase. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. As Pastor David mentioned, I've had several internships here at Wake Chapel. And a major highlight, a major part of those internships has been Vacation Bible School with VBS. And so you guys may have known me in the past as Sir Joseph Preston of Montrouge. Or particularly, Sir Joseph Preston of Montrouge. I try to work on that British accent, but it still sounds Australian at times. That's a work in progress. And this past year, had a completely different outfit on, a completely different character for that with Captain Charlie. And I thought, well, hey, Captain Charlie is, he's a Jungle Cruise captain, but let's put a big cowboy mustache on him. Why not? And sound like a Southern grandpa. So you may have seen the video of Captain Charlie being like, hey, Joe, what you doing, man? And so I was putting on different outfits for different characters for VBS. And this past go-around for VBS, that last night, we figured it would be a good idea for me to put on being poured over me, having poured over me a whole thing of beans, baked beans in a kiddie pool, to celebrate the end of the night. And I still don't know why I had on my boots. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea to keep those on, and because I'm pretty sure them things still smell like beans after that. And that was almost 6 months ago, y'all. But VBS is always a good time. There's a lot of great things that always happen with VBS. And if there's one thing that these internships have taught me, it is that Christian service includes wearing many different hats, doing many different things for the Lord and for others. I had to put on different outfits for different tasks, as we do for Christian service. In fact, looking at verse 12 with that verb, to put on there, it can also mean to clothe. So in our text, we see that the Apostle Paul told the churches of Colossae to put on Christian character. And as followers of Christ today, we put on, we clothe the character of Christ. And Scripture warns us not to act against who we are. Because when people see that we're followers of Christ, they're going to take a good long look at the way that we act and the way that we treat each other. Because ultimately, we act as we are. And if we are Christians, we will seek to act like Christians. And as we think about that, I will lead us in our walk through this text together, on our journey through this text, and see how the Word of God tells us to put on Christian character. And the Apostle Paul, he starts by describing different characteristics here in verse 12. But first, he addresses who these Colossian Christians really are. And he says in verse 12, they are God's chosen ones. They are holy and beloved. And it was interesting to find out that Paul never made it to the city of Colossae. But in fact, Paul wrote them this letter, and he wrote this letter to them while he was in prison for his faith. But Paul never went there. How did he know about these folks? He knew of other folks there that scholars say were probably saved on Paul's missionary journeys. And those people who were saved by Paul's work on these missionary journeys, they believed the gospel for themselves, and they took that gospel to places like the city of Colossae. And one of these guys in particular, his name is Epaphras. I'm pretty sure I'm saying that right. That would be a cool name for a VBS character, right? Epaphras. That would be, and here comes Epaphras riding in on a horsey. Anyway, we probably won't have horses in the gym. That was just, I don't know why that came to mind. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. So, for these Colossian Christians, Paul is reminding them of their identity as God's chosen ones, His holy ones, and His beloved ones. And like them, our Lord has chosen us. And you may have heard of the song that goes something like, He's got the whole world in His hands. And Randy Travis sings a very good version of that song. But before the Lord even made the world, to be in His hands, He had His people in mind. Somehow He mysteriously and yet amazingly orchestrated all of time and space so that all of us humans can have minds that think and be responsible for how we act toward the Lord and toward other people. And some people, with this responsibility, willingly submit themselves to Christ through faith and repentance. And yet God also says, with all this in mind too, with our human responsibility, God also says, I have chosen my people before the foundation of the world. It's Ephesians 1:4. As Christians, we benefit from human responsibility and God's sovereignty. And we don't know exactly how that works. But friends, church family, we can be thankful that it does work. He chooses us as His holy ones. And He guides us to clothe ourselves, to put on Christian holy character. And our Lord does this out of His love for us. And as He loves us, He tells us to put on the character of Christian love. As our Lord considers us chosen, holy, and beloved, we are to act as people who are chosen, holy, and beloved. We read in verses 9 to 10 of Colossians 3 that Paul tells us to put off the old self and to put on the new self. In other words, we are now a Christian, and we are to act like a Christian and not like an unchristian. Because before we surrendered ourselves to Jesus, we simply acted as unbelievers because that was what we once were. But now that we are believers, our Lord calls us to act like believers. And as it was often said in our study of Titus last year, believing is behaving. We act as we are. But how exactly do we act as we are as Christians with Christian character? The Apostle Paul helps us out big time here. Especially, we're still looking at verse 12. And in verse 12, we have a list of certain character traits, different characteristics. The first one of these is to put on compassionate hearts. In other words, we clothe ourselves with concern for other people. And that word compassion, they were compassionate, it can also be translated as mercy. And in fact, we read in another of Paul's letters, he starts that out with, blessed be the Father of mercies, or blessed be the Father of compassion. We bless others with compassion because our Lord blesses us with compassion. And that includes blessing others with endurance or bearing one another, as verse 13 says. And then it says, forgiving each other. And we forgive each other as the Lord forgives us. And it can be hard to forgive somebody who has wronged us. And it's definitely not natural. It's not a natural thing, and it takes some serious effort. And we can say that we have forgiven somebody. But if we greet them in public like nothing happened, to greet them in public like nothing ever happened, while still having bitterness in our heart toward that person, playing their offense in our mind over and over again, bringing us down and making us angry with them, with full of hatred in our heart. If that happens, is that really forgiveness? In his book, The Peacemaker, Ken Sand once said, "Forgiveness is not a feeling. It is an act of the will. Forgiveness involves a series of decisions, the first of which is to call on God to change our hearts." Forgiveness means calling on God to help us forgive someone from our hearts. Because God joyfully forgives us. When Christ forgives us, our sins are washed away, white as snow. And He no longer holds those sins against us. And when we realize how undeserving we are of God's forgiveness, we would be more apt to forgive others, even in conflict. And we know that conflicts can arise anywhere, right? In church and in family and in other places. But what matters is, how do we handle that conflict? Do we handle conflict with Christian character or with non-Christian character? And Paul continues to help us out with this, with these characteristics. I mean, keep looking at these characteristics with me in verses 12 to 14. A lot of these sound like the fruit of the Spirit. And a lot of those very same words that are mentioned as fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, they're also mentioned here. Paul says in verse 12, we put on not just compassionate hearts, but we also put on kindness, also translating as generosity. And that means more than just saying nice things to each other, but also we intentionally go out of our way complimenting one another. And we clothe ourselves with humility. And humility, when we talk about humility, we don't think of ourselves. I think I'm saying this right. Hang on. We put on humility, and we don't think less of ourselves. We think of ourselves less often. And we think of others more often. There it is. That's what I was trying to say for humility. And then Paul also says we put on meekness, which also translates as gentleness, another fruit of the Spirit. And also we put on and clothe ourselves with patience. And guys, it takes a lot of patience to drive around Wake County nowadays. Especially, I had to drive down in this area from Wake Forest a couple times this past week. And it's a very difficult thing to drive around here between 3 in the afternoon and 7 or 8 o'clock at night. Especially coming down here after 5 o'clock, because it gets a lot darker now after 5 o'clock. And I'm driving down Highway 55 on Holly Springs, and I mean, it's getting dark, and of course, a lot of cars on the road. And with the cloud cover that we had, I think it was Thursday night, with the cloud cover we had, all the rain we had on Thursday, I mean, it was pitch black. And it looked like it was more like 10 o'clock at night, much less 6 o'clock at night. It takes patience to drive on these roads around here, and it also takes patience to be with and to work with other people. But Christ helps us with patience. And He will help us with patience when we seek to put on His character. Look at verse 14. It says, above all these characteristics, put on love. And love comes from the famous, well-known Greek word agape. There's a camp between here in Sanford with the name Camp Agape that some of you may have been to. I've been to once or twice. And we can define love as considerate sacrificial care, and regard for someone else. And Paul shows us that love, this sacrificial love, is the theme of our Christian character. Think about 1 Corinthians 13. And if you've been married, I'm sure this may have been mentioned at your wedding. Very famous passage for weddings, 1 Corinthians 13. And it's known as the love chapter. And it's called the love chapter because it shows us that love binds everything together for Christian character. And we put on and we clothe ourselves with love for Christ and love for others because of the love that Christ has for us and the love that He has displayed for us. We rest in His love and we rest in His peace. Look at verse 15. It says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." And the peace from Christ comes from what we know of the good news of Christ. And as Christians saved by the good news, we seek to make peace with each other. And as the Word says, if possible, live peaceably with all. That's Romans 12, 18. Of course, that does not mean that we simply become people pleasers, trying to make everybody happy, and in that effort go against what we believe. Because sometimes there are people who are so hardened in their heart toward us that they do not want to make peace with us. So what do we do in response to that? We lift them up to the Lord in prayer, asking that they would come to repent of their sins from their heart, and we pray that we would make peace with them and that they would seek to make peace with us, and we pray that the Lord's will be done. And that shows, talking about peace especially, that shows Christian character, and that shows our identity in Christ. And we do this not only from our identity individually, but also from our identity corporately, as a church. Not simply as individuals, but as God's church. And here in verse 15, the church is described as the body of Christ. Because His people make up the body where Jesus is the head. And the letter of Colossians also says in verse 9 and 10 of chapter 2, it says, "For in Him," that is Jesus, "for in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority." And G. Campbell Morgan, he even says that this passage in chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, that passage is the heart of Paul's letter to the Colossians. Why? Because Jesus shows Himself to be fully God and yet also fully man. And His glory is displayed through His church. And we look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ rule in your hearts. And the church of Christ is to look to the word of Christ. The word of Christ being the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ. Christian character is developed in those who are saved by the Christian gospel. And one of my favorite devotionals of all time, it's called A Gospel Primer. It's written by a guy named Milton Vincent. And some of our youth have this devotional. We've talked about this before with this devotional. And here's what it says. "Preaching the gospel to myself every day is a great way to keep myself established in the hope of the gospel. When we remember the good news, we remember the hope that we have in King Jesus. We remember the hope that we have in the good news. Because our Lord Jesus reigns as King, and He will return to make His kingdom known here. He will come and build His kingdom here. And for those reasons, we have hope. There's a lot of young people around my age nowadays who seem to really be struggling mentally, some people have said. And it seems like there are more people out there struggling with things like depression. There's more people like that than we think. And for some of these people, it even comes to the point to where they think they have no hope. And yet in the gospel, we always have hope. Verses 2, 3, and 4 of chapter 3, it says this: "Set your minds that are above. Set your minds on the things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died," that is your old self, "you have died, and your life," your new self, "your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory." According to the good news, there's always hope. And we celebrate that hope together, especially when we gather here together. And what Paul is saying in verse 16, he basically says this: celebrating the gospel is the center of corporate worship. And we do this by talking about the gospel as it's mentioned in the word of the Lord. And we talk about those things with each other and when we gather. And we do this in a variety of ways, especially here at Wake Chapel. And Paul gives one specific way here that we celebrate this good news together. What is that way? He says in verse 16, we sing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, we worship the Lord together by singing to Him together. And it's interesting how there's different types of songs mentioned here. And it gives us an idea of how the early church probably worshiped when they gathered. And as he says, they sang psalms. So there's a good chance that Paul is probably referring to the book of Psalms. And we know that the book of Psalms is the songbook of the Bible. And as God's people in the Old Testament, we're pretty sure that they sang psalms. So it makes sense for us to say that God's people in the New Testament also sang psalms. And then it says here, hymns, coming from the Greek word hymnos, very similar wording there. And these hymns, they were special Christian songs that were composed in the early church here at this time, in these first churches. They compiled these hymns. And we have good reason to believe that some of these hymns came from different passages of Scripture in the New Testament. For example, we have Mary's song in Luke 1. And we also have passages about Christ in Philippians 2 and in Colossians 1. So there's a good chance that the early church would have sang, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him." And as it says in verse 17, "And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." And that was a theme verse for TVR one year, a long time ago. when I was a first year Mountaineer in high school. So then first year of high school. So that would have been 2015. Man, time flies. Wow. But we have good reason to believe that the early church would have sang passages like this. That He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And other special songs were written around this time as well. And they were written, and the church sang them from the early church all the way up to today. And in October 31st, which was just a couple weeks ago, it's known as Reformation Day, because on that day, in 1517, Martin Luther started the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther did. And one of the hymns that is known for him to have written is "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And I remember us singing that hymn here a couple months ago. And what a blessing that was. And as many of you know, I grew up in this church. And in the past couple years, I have done a lot of guest preaching across North Carolina and across Southern Virginia. And I have sat, because of that, I have sat in many different worship services. And church family, may I say, our worship service here is very, very special. The great thing I love about our worship services here at Wake Chapel is that they are based on the Bible. When we gather at this hour at Wake Chapel, we read the Bible, we hear the Bible preached, and we sing the Bible, and we pray the Bible. Our preaching is based on the Word, and our singing is based on the Word. And our singing is so special because, and the biggest reason why our singing is so special is when we sing, I can hear everybody's voices. And I can hear the voices of those around me. In seminary, we call that congregational singing. And it's called congregational singing. Why? Because the songs are set up in a way that it makes it easy for all the congregation to sing. And not only that, for all the congregation to hear each other sing. And when we gather, we sing of the very reason of why we gather. And we gather to sing the truths of the gospel. And we do that by singing songs like, "I will glory in my Redeemer, who carries me on eagle's wings. He crowns my life in loving kindness. His triumph song I'll ever sing, I will glory in my Redeemer." We put on, we clothe ourselves with Christian character when we worship together, giving glory to our Redeemer. And our passage ends with the command to do not just singing, but to do all things for His glory in verse 17. All that we do, all that we say, and all that we do and put action toward, we do it all for His glory. We do it all for His glory. We glorify Him individually, and we glorify Him corporately, together as a church. Together we display Christian character. And what does this passage teach us about Christian character? And I have three ways here. Number one, we show Christian character because of the Christian gospel. And throughout this message, I hope you've seen the dance that we have between being saved by grace and also bearing fruit for Jesus. We cannot bear fruit if we are not Christian, because that would be fake fruit. The only way that we can bear fruit is if we have already truly, wholeheartedly believed in the gospel. And the Apostle Paul says in another place, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." And this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So we become Christian when we have faith and repentance in Christ. We trust in His life and death and resurrection, and we rest in the hope that one day He will return, and He will make all things right, and He will establish His kingdom here on earth. And if you are here this morning and you do not believe in this good news, pray that today would be the day. Trust Jesus as Savior today. And please talk with somebody, whether that would be me or somebody else here. I'm sure they'd be more than happy to talk to you. But church family, we show Christian character because of the Christian gospel. And also, number two, we show Christian character by bearing fruit. And we bear fruit according to what our text says about fruit and all the different ways that we can bear fruit based off of these character traits that we have here. Because our text resembles the fruit of the Spirit. We know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it's, and even in saying those things, it's still in my mind memorizing that in at TVR, but also in Awana. And what a blessing that is for our kids to learn Scripture that way. But when we think about fruit, we think about a tree. And of course, I've mentioned from this pulpit before how I love climbing trees. And but I wouldn't climb any weak tree, but only strong trees, right? But when we think about a tree, we know that a strong tree has strong roots. And because it has strong roots, it's going to bear fruit. And bear fruit in a strong, plentiful number. And for us, we cannot bear fruit if we do not already have gospel roots. When we bear fruit by relying on our gospel roots. And right after that passage I mentioned in Ephesians, it also says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And we bear fruit because of the salvation we already have. But also, number three, we show Christian character when we gather together for worship. And this is a specific way to bear fruit that we've already talked about, but it's one that we specialize in here at Wake Chapel. We've already mentioned the blessing of worshiping together when we meet, and we mentioned how our meetings center around the good news that saves us. And we talk about His good news from His Word, and we do that in our Sunday school classes, and in our weekday Bible studies, and in Awana, in our youth ministry, children's ministry, and in our new members class, and in the office, and especially at our Wednesday night prayer meetings. If you have not been to one of these Wednesday night prayer meetings in a while, I really encourage you to come. They are a really sweet time. With out of all of the experiences and opportunities that I've had with these internships here at Wake Chapel, those Wednesday night prayer meetings are one of my favorites. right here in the fellowship hall, down here, down the hill here at 6:30, we meet for that. And those meetings remind us that we depend on the Lord together for everything. We cannot do this Christian life alone. We need Him and we need each other. And these Wednesday night prayer meetings show that big time. And in all these ways, our text tells us to have hearts that pray, as our choir has sung, and has sung many times before, we bow the knee and trust the heart of the Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see, especially on a dark, cloudy day driving on 55 in Holly Springs when it's pitch black. When the answer goes beyond what you can see, we bow the knee and lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of His plan, in the presence of the King, bow the knee. Let's bow the knee of our hearts together as we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. In this very text, it mentions being thankful several times. And we're about to have and plan to have a meal here down in the fellowship hall that reminds us all of thankfulness. And what a blessing that is. May it be a blessed time there and help us to continue to show Christian character to each other and to our communities and beyond. And through our different meetings here, and especially at this lunch down the hill. Now to you who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to you be glory in the church and in your Son throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen.